Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's the 14th of June, 2021. Thanks for being with us today here on Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's us. We're over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org. You can go over there and see all the good stuff we tried to do all about equity pre-K-12. Okay, work on social emotional learning, all those sorts of things, access, etc. We want your voice heard, be part of us. Everything we do over there is free. Go over, see our magazine, brand new issue, good issue. Okay, have our online journal, Equity and Access. See all our podcasts like this one we're going to do today. All are archived over there. So please go over and enjoy over at ace-ed.org. You'll like it if you do, and please tell your friends about it. As well, pass the word, the more the merrier, as we like to say. Got a good show for you today. Got my good friends from Classroom Champions here. Monique Tabor is their one of their outreach coordinators. I'm going to bring her on right now. And she has brought with her a wonderful person, not that Monique isn't, okay, Brittany Hudak from Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. All right, we'll tell you about that in a little bit. Brittany is a two-time Paralympian on the Canadian national team, Paralympic bronze medalist, go on and on and on here. She's just an amazing person. And we're going to talk about how all this works with what Classroom Champions at classroomchampions.org does with SEL in schools all over the U.S. and Canada. So without further ado, enough of me yapping. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I say I'm Larry. I'm Larry Jacobs. Did I mention that before? I don't even know if I did, for goodness sakes. Call me Larry. Usually start with that, but I didn't today. It's a Monday morning thing. Sorry about that. Okay?
No worries.
Nice to have you here, Monique. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Before I bring, my pleasure. I'll say hello to Brittany. Brittany, are you there?
Oh, I think we have a little bit of a mix-up. Because we have a different athlete here.
Who's here?
Yeah, my name is Alicia Riffling. I'm a bobsled athlete, and all those wonderful things you said about Brittany, who is another one of the Classroom Champions mentors, you're so right, and I'm kind of sad it's not her, and it's me instead.
Oh, no.
Well, I can straighten this out really quick, okay? All right. Mm-hmm. We're sorry Brittany isn't here. And I'm sure she is a wonderful person, and she is welcome here anytime. Now, this is who? Say it again. This is who?
My name is Alicia Riffling, and I am a Canadian Olympic bobsled pilot. I competed in the 2018 Winter Olympics, and I'm a Classroom Champions mentor as well.
Holy crow. Lisa, where are you from in Canada?
I'm born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, and I currently live for the last 10 years. I'm in Calgary, Alberta.
Wow. It's a pleasure to meet you, Lisa. And thanks for being here today. Okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. And you're a bob. This is great. And you're a bobsled captain. That means that you sit in the back of the sled and give the orders?
Nope, a little bit of the opposite. So we'll call me a pilot, a bobsled pilot. So I sit in the front seat. So I also push the sled, and then I also drive it down.
And then I scream at my teammates
to pull the brakes. A little bit about my sport. So if you've ever seen the Disney movie Cool Runnings back in the day with John Candy. That's the four-man bobsled. So the events in bobsled, in my sport in particular, are the four-man and the two-man. So the four-man being have four people in it. You have a pilot, two side pushers, and a brakeman. And then in the two-man, it's just the pilot and the brakeman in a shorter sled. In 2022, the Olympics coming up in February in Beijing, we'll also have one more event called the monobob. And the monobob is a single-person bobsled. And it's just the pilot. The pilot pushes it by itself and drives it down. So the women will compete in the two-man and the monobob event, and then the men will compete in the four-man and the two-man. Fun fact about me, I'm one of the only pilots in the world that has driven and competed in all three of them.
Unbelievable. Welcome to WOW. Amazing. I'm honored to have you here. And you're going in Beijing to Beijing in February.
That's the plan. Yeah, that's where the 2022 Olympic Games will be held. Yeah.
I hope so. It's February 2022. I have a question before I go back to Monique, okay? You were constantly referring to, and that's the way they do it, to, even though it's your team, to a two-man bobsled. You said the word man,
yeah.
And I'm curious if that's, because some people would hit me in the head if I did that, if it's the female team. Okay, so it's always referred to as two-man, M-A-N?
Yeah.
Gender-wise?
So the women's event will be is actually referred to as women's two-man. And the reason why we call two men just the same instead of two women is because the sleds are the same. We use the same sleds as the men. And our sport is basically, everything is done in German, so they have masculine and feminine names, whereas like the translation when it comes back to English is just straight up two men. So we call it the women's two-man event.
Oh, wow. And the other thing is, why is there a gender difference? In other words, why can't you, a female, be on the men's team? Why do they need a male and a female team? Is there really a difference besides obvious gender between the men and the women?
So, yeah, that's a very good question. So the equipment we race in is all the same. The tracks we go down to are all the same. We start at the same start line. The reason why we have the two different categories where men and women are separate, even though we travel, we compete with like on the same day as the men.
Of course.
It's weird. My big team. So the reason why is because of weight. So my sport is weight constricted, but you're also at an advantage to be heavier. So we actually did try when women's four-man, we were trying to get the women to get the four-man category before we ever got the monobob. What happened was they made it gender neutral. They opened the four-man event to everybody, whether you're male, female. You could have combinations where you could have two men in the sled, or you could have one woman driving, three men pushing, which is what one of the Canadians and one of the American team were doing. And at the end of the day, it came down to weight because women are always going to weigh in our sport, the maximum a man can weigh in the four-man sled works out to an average of 106 kilos, which is close to 230 pounds. And we don't have many girls that weigh even close to that. So
yeah.
If you have a girl that weighs 170 pounds and you're trying to fit her into a position that she needs to be closer to, let's even say 225, you have to add that extra weight into the sled. So now you're pushing a heavier sled. And it just, at the end of the day, it always came down to the difference that the push was so important. And if you're pushing your heavier sled, it's going to weigh more. You're going to push it slightly slower, even if it's a couple hundredths of a second. And that can be the difference between winning and losing. So it just never really evened out when you had both men and women in the sled or if the women were trying to compete against the men.
And one last question, then we'll go back to education and classroom champions, et cetera. Do you bring your own sled, or is it a standard weight sled? You just said a sled could be heavier. Do you bring your own sled,
yes,
or do they give you it? Does it have to be like X amount of poundage, and that's it?
And another great question. So the sleds are unique, and everybody has a different sled.
Wow,
for instance, the Germans have their own, their sled engineers. The Americans have their own sled that they engineer. We as Canadians used to, but we lost our program due to funding. And then all of the smaller nations that can afford their own sled engineers are kind of restricted to two brands, basically,
that they can
get their hands on. Yeah, but the new event, the monobob, which is going to make its debut in February in Beijing, so those are standardized sleds. So they're all from one company. The athletes are still responsible to purchase their own sled, but they're standardized. So that's why it's going to be a really interesting event because this is really just going to come down to because to win a bobsled race, you need three things. You need the fastest push possible, the smoothest drive possible, and you need the top equipment. You can't win without the best equipment, and it's some combination of the three. So now that we've kind of standardized the sleds for the monobob, it really opens up for those smaller nations that maybe just don't have the best technology or access to factories or whatever
like
it is.
Jamaica.
And,
like Jamaica. Yeah,
exactly.
The Jamaican
like Jamaica.
Bobsled team.
And it will just come down. Wow. My best example of that is to watch the Australians, because Australia being a summer nation, and they've got one girl that's just so incredibly talented, and she just kind of behind the mark when it comes to the two-man event. But because of those standardized monobobs, it's just all about her athleticism and her ability as a pilot, and she actually has a chance to be a medal contender there.
Well, and you know, the Australian bobsled is made 100% of used Foster's beer cans. That was a joke.
Okay. I'm going to have to tell her that, the pilot
please
I'm
do.
Talking
please
about.
Do.
Yeah, that's funny.
Please do. You are fascinating, yeah. Lisa. I want to get into this. Let me bring Monique. This is great. And I never knew that about the bobsleds. Monique, tell us about Classroom Champions. Monique is at classroomchampions.org. And Monique is an outreach coordinator there. And you guys do beautiful work in social-emotional learning and resilience and courage. And it's all – you bring these incredible athletes, okay, to students and let them tell their stories. And this builds up the students' confidence. That's, just talk about what you do. I probably just said it all, but you go ahead. Yeah,
good. Absolutely. Well, first I want to thank Alicia for breaking that down. I'm a lifelong nerd, so I love learning anything about anything. That was a great breakdown. But Classroom Champions is a non-for-profit, and we connect volunteer Olympians, Paralympians, student athletes, and professional athletes to the classrooms through social and emotional-based curriculum. And we also connect them with them for a mentorship experience. And like you were saying, Larry, they share their real-life stories, their lessons, from the victories to the failures and everything in between, to teach things like perseverance and goal setting, leadership, confidence, things like that. And it's an amazing program. I am a former teacher. Recently left the classroom in December, actually.
Where were you, Monique? Where were you teaching?
I was teaching in Jacksonville, Florida. Teaching in Jacksonville, Florida. So I taught during the pandemic. I've taught every which way the district wanted to do it, whether we taught to teach from home, I did that. Teaching hybrid, where students are in front of us and students on the camera, did that. Taught in the classroom, did that. So I definitely appreciate what teachers and administrators are doing. You know, we didn't necessarily sign up to be frontline workers, but we are, and here we are.
Yeah.
But Classroom Champions is there to really just support the teachers and administrators and the students most of all.
You know, as much as Alicia and all those folks that you mentioned, all these wonderful athletes, et cetera, that you bring in are Classroom Champions, so are teachers like you, okay, who kind of go in, okay, and teach the kids hybrid, whatever it was. And this was the same all over the country. You know, we talk about Classroom Champions, not to, you know, what you guys do with the SEL is incredible. But, boy, these teachers all over, I got to tell you, Monique, it was really one hell of a year, wasn't it? It's unbelievable.
Oh, it definitely was and is. And my heart goes out. Teachers, you deserve this break.
Yeah.
Take it. Enjoy it. Oh, my goodness.
for sure. You really do. And now let me put together with Classroom Champions and Alicia. Alicia, how'd you find out about Classroom Champions?
So Classroom Champions was started by a former Olympic bobsledder.
Steve. Yeah.
Steve Messler. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
From the
2010. Sorry, Steve. I know you're listening. I did know that. Steve Messler.
Steve is actually the best, and he's been an incredible mentor towards me and just life as in general. So he started it, and I just started to talk to some of the athletes that were working as mentors, and they just said how incredibly rewarding it was.
Yeah.
And I knew it was definitely something that I wanted to be a part of. I grew up with a family full of teachers. I know how important it is. And that's kind of how I got involved, and that was back in 2017. So I think I'm going into my fifth year as a mentor now.
Wow. So then let me go back to Monique. Monique, as an outreach coordinator, okay, and obviously it sounds to me like you know Alicia. You've been working with Alicia. How do you set all this up? And what happens when a school or a district gets in touch with Classroom Champions? Okay, do you try to match the right athlete to the right group, that kind of thing? God, Alicia stands for so many things, you know. So talk about that as an outreach coordinator.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head, Larry. We have an amazing team that works specifically with the teachers and administrators that are participating in Classroom Champions. We learn about them. We learn about their school community, what their particular students need, and we do try to match them with a volunteer athlete that fits those needs. So we definitely try to, we also have available information on all of our volunteer athletes. So teachers, administrators are free to go on there online and take a look, and they can pick them out. We can help them pick them out. But yes, absolutely, we definitely, because we are a non-for-profit, we are very headstrong in making sure that we cater to the needs of the students.
It's pretty neat. And where have you worked now since 2017? Alicia, where have you worked with Classroom Champions, in what kind of schools and where?
I have been fortunate enough to actually been, my first year I got placed with a couple schools up in Fort St. John, British Columbia. So they're a northern rural town that's very blue collar, I've been lucky enough that I've been with two schools and a smaller school that's even outside of that. And it's been fun because I've actually got to follow some of the same students from grade 3 to up to grade 6 now or whatever
fun.
It may be, and getting to recognize their names and follow along with their projects every year. So that's been awesome. There was one year I had some local schools here in Calgary, and it worked out great because those video call-ins that I feel are so important, I actually just ripped over to the school and did them all in person. So I got to create a more personal connection there.
That's great. That's super. My Lord, that's great. Have you worked with any U.S. schools yet?
I have not. I think we've been pretty much pairing up the Canadian athletes with Canadian schools and the American athletes with American schools. However, it would be easy transition for any of us to flip vice versa. And
obviously, hands across, we can't cross the border yet. I don't think till July 1st. No hands across the border would Zoom. Okay, I'm dying to. I live in Maine. I'm dying to get up to Canada this summer. I'm hoping that it reopens on July 1st. Okay,
yeah,
I live right
sure.
south of New Brunswick in Maine, and Quebec. So, I had to cancel a trip to Quebec City. I thought we were going to be able to get up there, and we haven't been. So Zoom works. All right, so we can hands across the
board.
Your
new ideal, because I'd like to get
and
down
there. And you represent an important thing in terms of female athletics. Okay, that's important for everybody to see. Okay, how important that is. Yeah, you make sure everybody's being part of it. Okay, how did you learn to do what you have to do, Alicia? Okay, Classroom Champion Steve gives you a call. You're sweet and wonderful and terrific, and you say yes. Now what? And it's not just go and tell your story, is it?
No, it's
Alicia.
Not. So
how they train you?
How
did Steve and Monique whip you into place? Let's into shape.
Into mentor shape, we'll call it. Yeah,
into mentor shape.
No,
yes,
thank you. Classroom Champions has done a wonderful job of kind of making it as easy for the athletes as possible so that we feel empowered to deliver the messaging. So every month we give a video, and the first part of that video is breaking down one of the lessons that we work on. So whether it be goal setting, perseverance, dealing with big emotions, Monique went through a couple of them before. And so we talk about the lesson itself. We are given the materials from Classroom Champions. We are given talking points, and we just break down this video about, you know, making it a very simple, easy process, understanding lesson that we can hand out in about 3 minutes. And then we spend the next 2 minutes relating that topic to something personal in our athletic journey. I use the example of goal setting all the time. It's my favorite one because I've gotten to where I have been because I've been a goal setter since the fifth grade. And I'll spend the first couple minutes talking about setting long-term goals versus short-term goals. And then I'll use the example of how I've used that in my career and what my current short-term goals are and how my short-term goals will be the stepping stone to my long-term goals, which ultimately will be to win an Olympic medal. And just make it in a presentable, relatable way for the kids to understand that they can use personally in their life.
It's amazing. And are you using it? I just pulled up your biography, and you were a basketball track and field person. Okay, right?
Yeah.
And now you're the human bobsled. I was going to say blobsled, but it came out bobsled. Okay. When you talk to the students, do you talk? You know, kids aren't necessarily into bobsledding. Okay, they're into track and field and the sports they see on TV all the time. Basketball being perfect. Okay. But suddenly you realize you could do other sports, okay? And there's a big jump from track and field and basketball to bobsledding. Put that in perspective for kids so that they can understand how you make a decision like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's really easy to because the kids don't understand what the specifics of sport yet, especially when I'm dealing with my little grade twos and threes. I don't think they really understand the concepts at a high level and how high performance ties into it. But the little simple lessons that they do understand, and it doesn't matter what the sport is teamwork. How to treat your teammates, or, you know, which comes down to whether they're playing, you know, an intro little Timbits level hockey or soccer. Canadian typical ones. It all comes down to how do you treat a teammate when, you know, they're experiencing a big emotion, if they're super frustrated, if they're crying, how do you handle that? And that's where these lessons really become relatable because they're able to fit it into their understanding, even though they're under the age of, you know, most of mine are under the age of 10. Mm-hmm.
And they
absolutely.
Go ahead, Monique.
Sorry. I was just going to piggyback off of that. I just wanted to mention that I think that's the beautiful thing about what Classroom Champions does is it exposes students to things and experiences and people that they normally would not come in contact with in their community because you encounter a lot of schools, a lot of communities where a lot of these students haven't really gone outside of their community, let alone outside of their country to experience things like bobsledding. So it's a beautiful thing where you can see someone that looks like you and also see someone who doesn't look like you from another walk of life. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it's an incredible thing. And it literally opens up the world to them. I mean, it's that simple. It opens up the world to them. Monique, when did you start with Classroom Champions?
Actually, I'm kind of the new kid on the block.
I left
the classroom in December, this past mm-hmm. December, and I joined Classroom Champions right after. It was just one of those things where Classroom Champions found me, you know, versus me finding Classroom Champions. I had never heard of Classroom Champions before, but upon research and looking and seeing exactly what Classroom Champions does and the impact that they're having, I just immediately was drawn to it because, you know, as a teacher, you have good teachers have a passion for what they do. So leaving the classroom was not an easy decision, but it was something that I just at the time knew that there was something bigger for me mm-hmm. out there, another
it's
way
okay.
for me to impact. Yeah. So Classroom Champions was a great opportunity to step outside the four walls of the classroom and not just impact the, you know, 20, 25 students that I have throughout the year, but through great athletes like Alicia, I can, you know, impact thousands, if not more.
You know, Monique, what you just said, and I've said this a thousand times here on the show, we all love classroom teachers, and I was one as well, okay? Mm-hmm. But we leave, and I left because after about 7-8 years, I got burned out of it, okay? I was just burned out, and I knew I wasn't as effective anymore. You don't need an excuse, okay, or feel the slightest bit concerned that you left classroom teaching. You are still involved in education. And you probably always will be your whole life, okay?
Yeah.
And you will always still be making an impact on these kids, okay? Kids
Thank
everywhere.
You.
And you've actually extended your reach, okay,
reach.
To
Absolutely.
Kids all over the country. And it just always that we all move on. I know somebody who was a basketball and track and field athlete who suddenly is running down ice fields in a bobsled. Right, Alicia?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
You take the lessons that you've learned and you're able to apply them to an even greater space. So it's amazing.
Yeah,
right.
It
and then
really,
the more I learn, I was just going to say, and the more that I learned about Classroom Champions, the more I was like, man, I wish I would have knew about Classroom Champions when I was in the classroom. I might still be in the classroom, you know.
There you go.
Because SEL, you know, as a teacher, that's kind of something, social and emotional learning is something that you kind of naturally do as a teacher when you have your students and you have your babies in front of you. But SEL just brought it to the forefront. And what Classroom Champions has done is it just made it more formal, and putting it into a curriculum. So, and studies have shown that having SEL in the classroom has prevented teacher burnout. Teachers are staying
That's
in the
right.
classroom longer because they're not having to deal with as much behavior management and classroom management issues, so they can enjoy their students and build a deeper relationship with their students and actually get to teach versus dealing with certain things that SEL helps prevent them having to deal with.
Well, you said several things that were rather important. There is a curriculum involved here. Okay,
Absolutely.
From classroom. It's not just a visit from an athlete. Okay, it's not an
Absolutely.
Assembly program, let me put it that way. Okay, where at least you would go and talk to the school and leave 45 minutes later. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an SEL program from Classroom Champions. And the other side of what you said, Monique, and is that teachers need social – TAA, teachers were never taught how to teach social-emotional learning. Which is now one of the key things in every classroom in the U.S. and Canada. I can tell you that right now. And we're asking people to do what they were never trained to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Teach SEL. All right? So we need the help of great companies like Classroom Champions. And the other side of that coin is teachers are people, too. They need their own social-emotional backup. Okay?
Absolutely.
It's a tough job, especially this cockamamie year. Okay? So, I mean, this what you guys do is so important. There's a feed over to the teacher themselves, okay? But as I said, you're doing great. I have, and again, this curriculum is really important. Alicia, I have to ask you a question. You how old are you? If I can ask you a rude question, how old are you? You've been out of school for how long?
No problem. I've been out of school for a long time. I'm 32 years old.
Yeah, can't be that. How old?
I'm older than some of my teachers that I deal with.
Okay, we're going to leave it at that, okay? My point is, okay, you were a student, okay, obviously. Okay, you went through K-12, okay, and then to college and all that sort of thing. When you look at these kids, I'm sure you see yourself in so many of them, but what have you learned, okay, from these kids? What you went in with, and I'm sure you thought, this is going to be fun and easy, but I bet it went deeper than that. Okay, what have you learned from these kids? And what have you learned from looking at a classroom? In Canada, it's the same classroom as in the U.S. What have you learned?
I have a pretty good story about this.
Be my guest.
The biggest lesson that I've learned from my kids has been accountability. And the reason why is because regardless of what happened to me, if I have a poor performance, if I don't reach a goal that I've set, I have to report back to my kids and I have to tell them and I have honest conversations with them. And My example was I had 1 year that I was expected to do extremely well. We had a world championships on my home track. And not only did I have a poor performance, I tore my calf, and I really wanted to pack it in. I wanted to quit. And when I reported to my kids and I shared with them, and again, it came back to the lessons, because I shared with them what my goals are or how I'm dealing with big emotions. And one of my kids asked me, they said, "Well, just because you didn't hit your short-term goal, does this not mean you still can't achieve your long-term goal?" And awesome. They were right. I was kind of stuck in my spot, and I was like, you know, this is what I'm teaching. I'm teaching that just because we don't achieve something, it doesn't mean we can't keep working towards our greater goal. And that's why I stuck through it. And I'm happy I did, but then the pandemic hit, and there's been more hardship, and I share, I'm honest with those. I make them know, I let my kids know that, like, it's not easy, and I struggle just as much as they do. That accountability part has been very, very key, I think, in my development as an athlete and as a human being.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you. That's a great story, and I'm sorry
awesome
you didn't take
story.
that victory, but we learn a lesson. You know, from all that, it's incredible. Do the kids understand? And I think this is an important thing to get across. You know, when we watch bobsledding or at the Olympics, we see the race, okay? They may give you a little bit of a feature, but we see the race. But to get to that race, let's talk about the Olympics, it's 4 years of competing, 4 years of conditioning, then add on all the years before that. Okay. Do the kids start to understand what goes into becoming a real champion like this? Okay, the 10,000 hours, as Malcolm Gladwell once said, that you have to put in. What about that, Alicia? Then I'm going to ask Monique too. Alicia.
Yeah. No, and I think that's such an important piece that they do get to see, because they aren't just with me in the Olympic year; they're there for the 3 years leading up. And what most of the classrooms that I've been dealing with, and they get to see me in Europe in the middle of a pandemic, getting two COVID tests a week. They got to see when I was injured and I was in a walking boot for 5 weeks, and I did an update about where I was, and I was sitting at home in a walking cast because I had to get injections done. They get to see that I'm traveling XYZ places because I need to get these certain races of points accumulated. They get to see me doing garage workouts because I can't get into a gym because of the pandemic. Like they get it. They don't get it at a level that maybe an adult would appreciate, but they see the relentless work. They see that it's not just, we just show up to the Olympics and win. So I think that's a really important lesson in itself.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I was always lousy in math, arithmetic when I was a kid, math as I got older, and I never had the patience to do well in it. I was bad at the beginning, and so hence I was bad at the end. And, you know, but if we can take what you learned, okay, from all the work that you put into it, all right, you just have to work harder to be that much better at it. Okay, and can translate that to academic subjects, okay, and SEL, the power of resilience, the power of keeping going, the power of practice. I mean, it just makes all the difference in the world to kids, and I hope they can translate these incredible athletic stories into life skills that make them better in academics and better persons, okay, from doing that. And as I say that, Monique, okay, as you watch kids and classroom champions, again, you're new to this, what do you see? How do you see the kids learning? I mean, Alicia just told some great stories. Okay? Do you see see the difference in the kids?
Right. And I think Alicia, you know, hit it right dead on. It's the lessons in the journey. It's not just the lessons from the end game, whether it's a victory, whether it's a failure. It's the lessons that come along with the journey, you know. A book can only teach us so much, but for the students to actually come along with Alicia and our other great athlete mentors and see what it takes to get to the end game, whether it's the whether it's the gold or whether it's nothing. You see the journey, the hard work, and the dedication. Now, as far as the understanding, we have the our curriculum that goes right along with it that is grade banded, so it's age appropriate, so it can break down some of these concepts in a way that the student in their age group can understand. So it goes along with them learning directly with the athlete, but absolutely, that it's the lessons in the journey, and I think that's key.
It is key. I got to tell you, you two are amazing. Alicia, best of luck to you. This is really going to be a great year for you and next year as well. Okay? I mean, I'm excited for you. You got to be thrilled.
So
this is all coming up. Okay? It's so cool. All right? In fact, in your case, it's not just cool. It's cold. In fact, frozen. Okay? I mean, it's
you're not wrong.
It is so powerful what you do. And what you do not only in the Olympics but also in schools, it's great. And Monique, thank you so very much. Okay, I appreciate this.
Yeah.
I really do. Thank you both. You were great.
Absolutely. Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Thank you so much for having us. This is awesome.
My pleasure.
Yes,
you guys are I'm not awesome. You guys are awesome. Okay, keep it up. Stay safe, please. Okay, and happy travels. Good luck. Okay?
Yes.
Happy travel.
Well,
hope you get up here soon.
Yeah, I hope so, too. That border better open pretty soon. All right? Thank you all. Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That's Monique Tabor, new to Classroom Champions, classroomchampions.org. They have a great program for SEL, obviously. All right? And that was Alicia Risling, who is an incredible athlete, a Canadian bobsled champion. What can I say? All right, you heard it all here. I mean, the stories are endless, okay, and it's just amazing. They will set up the right person with your classroom and get these stories out there, work with the curriculum that builds confidence in these kids, teaches resilience, teaches them the courage and the need to stick with it, okay, and make it happen, all right, it's just and be successful. Great stuff. ClassroomChampions.org. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Go over there, check out, see what we do. My name's Larry Jacobs. Thank you, ladies. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Have a good day.